This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We're live as always in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. And I must say we have a three-hour banger lined up today. Great guest on the program in 30 minutes. Raheem Palmer loves the NBA. Fires on the NBA, respect the model. His numbers were very strong on San Antonio going into the series. We'll talk to him about Game 7 coming up in 30 minutes. Longtime friend of the show, Nigel Seeley, on the finale of the Champions League and also what to do now in the French Open. The madness continued today. Linda Cohen, the great Linda Cohen from ESPN, in 90 minutes on the NHL. And Lou Finocchiaro on the show today as well. Well, Pauly, I'm sorry that you lost your Thunder and Six bet last night, as we discussed yesterday at the very end of the show. However, I guess the silver lining from that is that we're going to get a Game 7. These games have been pretty bad outside of Game 1. I mean, that was the...
Game 2 was good.
That Game 1 was a doozy, though.
Yes, it was.
And then
it's an
been,
all-timer.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And then a lot of duds for the most part. Let's hope it closes the way it started, and then we can look back and say, eh, that was a pretty damn good series.
Yep, and a lot of people are bringing up the 2016 finals. Other people are bringing up Lakers-Celtics when it was blowout city, but you got an epic Game 7 that was low scoring and a grinder. I know Cousin Sal has been playing blowouts. That's seven nights in a row we've had a blowout now, or at least the team has won by 9 points. Who won the game? So it's been a little disappointing after how we started, which I guess we couldn't top double overtime and then overtime in the first game ones of the conference finals. But we get to an epic Game 7, and now it's also war of attrition and last man standing, too, because, number one, I can't believe they played Williams, and they were outscored by 18 points in the 10 minutes. But what can he give you in a Game 7, and what can he give you moving forward when it looked like that? And he just left the arena without talking to the media, too.
Sure. Well, here, I mean, the multiple injuries now is where this team is kind of stuck. I mean,
yeah,
they're totally fine without Williams if A.J. Mitchell was available to play. And, I mean, we saw what that dude was capable of doing against the Lakers, where he was maybe the best player along with SGA in that entire series. The guy was phenomenal. He's not there for the team. So then you take out him, you whack out Williams as well, you're cutting out two huge pieces of this squad overall, and a major depth issue then stems from it. And now look at where the number is as a result here. You're talking about a team that was laying 6.5, 7, or 7.5 in the first two games at home. And now based on those injuries and what happened last night with another blowout, they're laying 3.5. The total is down 7 points from last night, probably rightfully so. And OKC is currently in the minus 150, minus 155, 160 range to win the game outright.
Yeah. I think it'd be a disappointment if the Spurs can't do this. And we'll see if Raheem Palmer is disappointed that they haven't finished him off already. Because while Wembanyama's been fantastic in the wins, he struggled in two of the losses. And I know they'd love to have Game 3 and Game 5 back. But to hold OKC to 38 second-half points was incredible. And the job they've done on SGA, under 40% shooting, 5 of the last 6 games. And they are minus 28 in the series when he's on the floor. Think about that. And it's incredible the job they've done defensively. But I think a big reason is going to be health here, why they're going to win Game 7 on the road. And they should win, too, with two key members down with the Thunder. And you have the best player in the series. Imagine if I get anything out of Fox. I mean, Harper looked great.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't look like he was injured at all. Castle was fantastic.
Oh, Champagne was.
He was, too. Right?
Outstanding last
night.
And
we still got to bring up the first basket of the game, too, because Wemby wins every tip. And that cashed 10-1 because the Spurs are going to get the first look. But I it's like what Gelt said yesterday. I mean, come on, man. Fox, you're on a max contract here, and you're killing your team out
there. I know.
There.
Well, here's something else that needs to be considered as well. It would be Oklahoma City in the first quarter. It got there again last night with San Antonio, and I'll say that because a team off of a loss in the 2026 NBA playoffs when they are favored in the next game are now 21-7-1 ATS money line in the first quarter. And that's now 98-51-5 since 2021. So I would assume that we're going to get really good Oklahoma City in the first quarter. But on top of that, like the Spurs have been great out of the gates in these games. So it's kind of like tricky with that one.
It was great to see aggressive Wembanyama.
Yeah.
It was great that the officials let him play. There's bodies all over the floor.
Oh, last night's game was way more refreshing than what we saw in game five.
Absolutely. Zarba's crew did an excellent job. And but the other one now is the move on the total, but we've had the opposite. And it's a small sample size, but in the four game sevens this year, they've all gone over. And a lot of them by ease, 3.5, 7, 9.5. 15 going over on a 4-0 with the overs. Unders coming in to this year, game sevens, we're on an 18-7 run. So maybe we just see a frenetic pace again, and you see great basketball, and it goes over. But you have to point out that everyone loves to play these unders, but the last four in this playoffs around this season have gone over.
Game sevens historically, well, I'll say this, since 2002, 45-32 to the under. The year after the pandemic, 2021, they are 9-8 to the under. So it has flipped here a little bit. The other thing is, when you look at the scores so far when they're played in San Antonio compared to when they're played in Oklahoma City, I will take out double overtime. I will only count how many points these two teams scored in regulation in game one, because that's, I think, the way you have to do it. You can't include overtime. Oklahoma City at home has averaged almost 117 points per game. On the road, they've averaged 99. That's a massive difference. Mm-hmm. And the Spurs at home have averaged 109.7. Guess what? On the road, 109.3. So they've been pretty much, in terms of average points per game anyway scored, they're right there. There's really been no difference. The Thunder, way different at home compared to when they're on the road. And I think the key here is what you were talking about a minute ago. There's nothing wrong with not having a bet in this game before tip-off. You can wait to see what's going to happen with the officials. And I'm sorry for people who don't like that talking point. You have to in the NBA. Last night was completely different than game five. And how the game is going to be reffed will determine, I think, who's going to win this game. And you might have a pretty good idea based on the first, I'll call it like 6 to 8 minutes of the first quarter. Maybe not even that much. And if it's going to be a parade to the free throw line, then you have to love Oklahoma City's chances. If they're letting them play and bodies are flying all over the floor, then I think the Spurs in play is probably going to be worth a look.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but you go back 2 weeks ago, maybe the Knicks want OKC to win. They already got what they wanted, which is a game seven, and they'll be the first team ever to catch three straight opponents off a game seven. And that's never happened. So
right.
They're big winners already.
Well, if you told me right now that Williams and Mitchell are going to be out, I'm not going to disagree.
Yeah, right. I mean, what could Williams possibly give you when you saw he shouldn't have been out there?
Right.
And he didn't give you anything. And the other, this is getting juicy now, too. As I mentioned earlier, I don't know how big you are into plus minus. But when Caruso has been on the floor in the series, they're plus 38. They're minus 56 when he's on the bench. The Thunder have been outscored by 28 points. When SGA's on the floor, they're plus 10 when he's off. How can he win the MVP?
Good question,
so
Pauly.
So Caruso's down to 15-1 now, and this was on the Hoop Collective podcast earlier today. Tim McMahon, ESPN, who has a vote and said I would give it to Caruso, also went a different direction, though, with this.
Could this be a situation? Obviously, we've got to see how Game 7 plays out. Could Victor Wembanyama be the conference finals MVP and the Thunder advance to the finals? I haven't thought about that.
You're the voter, not us.
At this point, I think it's a serious consideration. Maybe Shea comes out.
What if Caruso has a big game seven?
Yeah, Caruso right now, if the Thunder win, Caruso would be my selection for... I'll say this. I think Caruso's been the Thunder's MVP in the series. Victor's clearly been the best player in the series. Now, could Shea come out and have just a masterpiece of a game seven and wipe away everything I just said? Absolutely. But I, depending on how game seven plays out, I could see the Spurs going home and Wimby having an MVP trophy as a consolation prize.
I love that he said that.
Wow.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. He had the stinker in game five, but other than that, he's been dominant on both ends.
Paul, I mean, who's the best player in the series?
That's right. Oh, no doubt.
There's no hesitation. It's Victor Wembanyama.
I think the odds are still mispriced. Unless this guy is Superman in Game 7, I find it hard to believe that you can give SGA the finals MVP with the job they've done on him defensively.
So we brought on Will Hill yesterday. He has 100-1 on Caruso. I took some 22-1 yesterday. The advice for Will to hedge, this is a nearly impossible spot to hedge in. I think it might be just Spurs money line. Or it might be Wembanyama to win the award, because Wembanyama might actually win if the Thunder win this game, and it's a low-scoring game, and SGA does nothing.
Yeah, and plus 140, I think. Plus one, yeah, in that range for Wembanyama.
I will point out, now this was Game 7 NBA Finals last year for SGA. He put up really good numbers, but he was not, I mean, he was completely inefficient. 29 points, 12 assists, 5 rebounds. Sounds great, right? He was 8 of 27 from the floor, 2 of 12 from 3, and he went to the free throw line 12 times. He made 11 of them. Like, so 8 of 27 is, as we all know, terrible. 2 of 12 from downtown. Get him off the court.
Yeah.
But if they're going to call and he's going to go to the free throw line 12 times, I also don't think there's a good chance they lose that game if Haliburton doesn't get hurt last year.
Sure. Absolutely. But we have to have a close game Saturday, and I think it will go out strong. And the other thing is, but these blowouts, they kill player props. Oh, that just, it's a killer from a prop standpoint when you have these blowouts.
Yeah, it was a 12.
I mean, if you had Wembanyama points over, that's ridiculous that he couldn't get there.
Also, you got to get the best number on that.
That's true.
And I had, so that you're right, and the blowout was certainly a possibility last night. We talked about that on the show, and yet I had 3 positive bets on guys to have steals, and they just sat basically the fourth quarter and never got there. They were all losers because it turned into a blowout and the benches were on the court.
Yeah.
More on that game coming up, and also Game 5 Eastern Conference Finals NHL. This is going to be a very popular bet tonight, and believe it or not, the Canadiens have a strong history when trailing 3-1 in a playoff series. Details on that next here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We'll expand here on Game 7 coming up tomorrow night, Western Conference Finals, and a peek at the NBA Finals as well. We go out to the Progressive guest line. Raheem Palmer, kind enough to join the program with Ringer, Spotify, FanDuel TV as well. Loves betting on the NBA, and very cool to hop on the program today, Raheem. Thanks for the time. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. You know, last night we got it in with the Spurs, so we're sitting on the Spurs plus 215 to win the entire series. And right now, I mean, you see them, they're about 3.5-point dogs in like plus 140, 150 range. So I feel like I have a good position heading into Game 7.
Yeah, you're a great follow on X, and you tweeted out before the series, you're like, holy smokes, my numbers are way stronger on San Antonio than the market. And I think you had OKC minus 185, if I recall correctly, going into the series. So you like San Antonio, no doubt, and you're going to grab that number. What do you make now of the Game 7 number as the Thunder, with the injuries now baked in, about 3.5-point favorites?
You know, it's so crazy. I actually had the Thunder minus 3.5 for Game 1. So I was all over the Spurs money line in Game 1. I took them with the points. And then obviously, you know, you come back after they lose Game 1. You got to play the Thunder in Game 2. So I feel like I've had a really good handle on this series. But, you know, the biggest thing is, like, the biggest thing when it comes to this series is that outside of Game 5, the Thunder haven't been able to win the Wemby minutes. If you look at Wemby in this series, he's a plus 55. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, look at SGA, and he's really struggling in this series. He's only averaging 24 points a game. He's 44 of 116, 37% from the field, and 6 of 23 from three. And, you know, he has a negative on point differential. He's like minus 28. So my biggest thing is that this series is really decided by the bench. And if the Spurs bench can hold serve, I think they have a very good chance of winning Game 7, even on the road.
So you were tweeting about this as well. And historically, everyone wants to play Game 7 unders, and you see big movement on it. But thus far, it's 4-0 to the over. How are you going to attack the total?
Yeah, I'm staying away from this one because, like, all right, so you look at these like, I've been playing game seven unders for quite a while. Have you looked since 1991? 55, 43, and one since 1991. And, you know, unders were on an 18-7 run going into the 2026 postseason. But this year, overs in game seven are 4-0. They've gone over by 3.5, by 7, by 9.5, and now 15 points. So you go from 219.5 in game six to now 212. Is it really warranted that you get a 7-point adjustment? So if I was to recommend a play on the total here, I think if you're going to play an under, I think you got to go all the way. I think you got to play adjusted under. Why don't you go like under 205.5 and try to get odds on it? Because I think if it's going to be an ugly game, it's going to be really ugly. Like, there's no way this game is going to go under 212 and then probably not go under 200, because game sevens are traditionally ugly outside of the last four that we've seen. So that's how I would approach it. I'm personally going to stay away from the total at this point in time. But I think if you're going to play the under, play some odds. Like, you might even be able to go under 190, you know, and then you might see a, you know, 85-90 game. Like, those things happen in game sevens.
Sure. I mean, we'll look at laying out numbers with point spreads in this series. I mean, like last night, right? If you're going to lay outs there, basically in any of these games, if you're going to go on both sides, I think it was Cousin Sal who tweeted it out. Mm-hmm. He's laying 9.5 with both teams in every single game. And I think it's, how many games in a row, Paulie, has it won?
7 or 8.
Like, yeah, it's like he's crushing it that way and getting plus numbers like that. So always taking a peek at those alt numbers, I think, is a good piece of advice there, Raheem.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, Cousin Sal's been killing with that for, you know, the last couple of years. I mean, that's the Cousin Sal system. Every single playoff game, he's laying 9.5 on both sides and getting odds. So, and I think he might be up like 20 units at this point in time. So the rest of us are spending time handicapping these games, and he just has a system that works.
Well, and I have to be honest. Now, this is, you know, it's a big if, but if that third quarter, if the Thunder did not completely just wilt away in the third quarter last night and they had maybe just like a slightly below average scoring output in the third quarter, that game's going to fly over last night. What, they scored a dozen, 13 points? Mm-hmm. That was it. That's where the game was finished.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, they literally, it felt like they didn't score for like 7 minutes. So it was really kind of crazy. And then obviously you had garbage time in the end. So, that game probably would have flown over. So maybe that's showing value, that there's value on a game seven over.
If the Thunder win, and you just mentioned the minus 28 with SGA, how do they give him the MVP, assuming he doesn't have a great performance in game seven?
I don't think they can. And,
I agree,
you know,
with you.
I kind of compare it to this. So if you go back to the 2016 finals, and I mean, we know that LeBron James and the Cavs won, but if you look at that game, Draymond Green had like 30-something points, and he was making every three. If the Warriors had won that game, Draymond Green would have been the finals MVP. And we've seen, you know, throughout the Eastern Conference Finals and the Western Conference Finals with these MVP awards, they're not afraid to give it to the second-best player. Mm-hmm. Like, you look at Jaylen Brown. He's won finals MVP. He's won Eastern Conference Finals MVP.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think whoever has the biggest game for the Thunder that's not SGA, they have a chance of stealing it. Now, when it comes to the Spurs, I think Wimby – like, there's nobody who's going to win it over Wimby.
Could he win it if the Spurs lose a close game and SGA and Caruso are just like, eh?
Nah.
No.
I don't see it. I mean, I think they're always going to give it to a winner.
Okay. So you also tweeted about this as well. And I love this Knicks story. But imagine game one Wednesday, a team with the best 11-game run in the history of the sport. They'd be a 6.5. Right now it's up, and I know it moved at FanDuel. They're still 6.5-point dogs against the Thunder if that's the matchup game one Wednesday. Do you still think there's value out there with the Knicks and they're disrespected?
So when it comes to the Thunder, it's very, very difficult, because if you go back and you look at their two matchups this year, the Thunder were obviously a bad matchup for the Knicks. Mm-hmm. And if you go back to March 29th, which was ironically my birthday, but the Thunder were laying 8 at home to the Knicks and they won by 11. Now, that was with J-Dub in the lineup. And I don't think AJ played that game. But then if you go back to March 4th, the Thunder were laying 4 on the road, and they end up winning by 3 in that game. And they were missing AJ, and they were missing J-Dub. That was the game where the Thunder were winning that game going into halftime, and the Knicks fought hard and put up a 40-27 third quarter before OKC pulled it off in the end. So I think there's going to be sharps who look at that and say, hey, look, how are the Thunder laying 8 at home on March 29th, and now they're only laying 6.5? Mm. So you're going to have that perspective. But I think you also have to remember that the Knicks have kind of gone super Saiyan over the last 11 games during this postseason. So if I look at my model is always going to show value on the Knicks. So I think the Thunder-Knicks series is really tough. Now, what I will say is that the Knicks-Spurs potential series, that's not tough for me at all. Like, to me, I think that is severely mispriced if you have the Spurs laying 4.5 at home against the Knicks. I think that that line should be closer to 2.5. So if you look at FanDuel right now, FanDuel actually has 3.5. But I think the Knicks have the edge in that series. If you look at the in-season tournament, Knicks were laying 2.5 on a neutral court. Now, I know the Spurs power rating has like increased since then, but if you go to that March 1st game, and this is so interesting because if you look at Wimby, he tends to win his minutes all the time. Outside of game 5, you know the last time that Wimby has lost his minutes? March 1st against the New York Knicks. And that was a game where the Knicks absolutely destroyed them. And they took, and the Spurs took money in that game. They closed as a 1-point favorite and the Knicks won by double digits. So to me, I think you should go ahead right now before game 7 happens, bet the Knicks in game 1. Bet them money line and bet them with the spread against the Spurs. Obviously, if the Spurs lose, you kind of got a free roll, you get your money back. But that line on the Knicks-Spurs is absolutely wrong. And I think the Knicks are going to win that series. If the Spurs win on Sunday, the Knicks are winning the title.
I would agree with that. And I think that price that's up and available at multiple books and has been now for a while, a potential series of the Spurs against the Knicks, I think the price on the Spurs is way too high. I would only look at the Knicks.
Oh, yeah, by far. Like, I think I have that Spurs, like, minus 129 or something like that.
Wow.
Like, I have, like... Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. So if you look at the models, obviously the models are going to show value on the Knicks for both series, but I want to tread lightly on the OKC series until I get the injury news.
Yeah.
But with the Knicks and Spurs, I'm in it to win it.
Very good. Follow Raheem on X at I am Rostradamus, and also he's with Ringer, Spotify, FanDuel TV as well. Join us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Love getting your perspective. Thanks for popping on today, and best of luck with that Spurs series price.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me. And also one more thing. I am betting the Spurs first quarter plus a half a point.
You are.
We broke. Yeah. And here's the thing. The biggest thing that we've spoke about is that the Thunder, they typically lose the Wimby minutes. Well, we know that Wimby is going to play seven or eight minutes in the first quarter. If you look at the series, in every single game of the series, except for game 5, the Spurs have been tied or in the lead in the first quarter. And in game 5, they were only down 2. So if you ask me, the Spurs have a gigantic edge in the first quarter. I'm taking them plus a half a point.
Love it. That's tremendous. Thanks, Raheem.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Be good. There you go. And he was on the Progressive Guest Line again. I like that. That goes against that trend that we talked about with Oklahoma City as a favorite so far in the playoffs, 21-7-1.
I'm surprised he dismissed the Wemby in a losing effort, considering if they lose a close game and he has like a 33-17 again, something like that.
Win, lose next. The Knicks will become the first team in NBA history to face this situation in the finals. Details coming up.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We are really looking forward to this segment as we go out to the Progressive Guest Line. As longtime ESPN broadcaster, lover of all things New York, Hall of Famer Linda Cohn joins the program. Linda, thanks for the time today. How are you?
Always a pleasure. Always thanks for having me. Always great.
You got it.
Game 5 tonight, Eastern Conference Finals. It's been pure domination since Montreal's win in Game 1. Does anything change tonight?
Most people think no. Call me nuts, call me crazy. I feel Montreal has rejuvenated maybe just a little bit. The big situation after watching game 4, which was a snooze fest and total domination by Carolina, to their credit, by the way, they just can't get any shots on Freddie Anderson, right? That was been the whole theme after game 1. And Freddie Anderson, I believe, being a former goalie, is not the best goalie on the ice. That's Carter Hart, left in the playoffs. Jakub Dobish of Montreal has outshined Freddie Anderson, even though Freddie, obviously has the 3-1 lead and is one win away from going to a cup final. He is vulnerable. Carolina has done Carolina things by keeping the shots on goal very low. We've all seen it. Montreal players know they have to get more shots on goal because the fans at the Bell Center in Montreal in Game 4 were saying, shoot the puck, right? They're trying. But Carolina has this, you know, suffocating, smothering way they play. And it has really gotten under the skin of Montreal. And they're exhausted. Obviously, they've played more games than Carolina. To the Hurricanes' credit, they deserve that. They deserve the rest. But I feel, I don't know, maybe it's a gut feeling that the shots are going to get through tonight and Freddie is vulnerable. And I think we're going to see a really low scoring. Could be a game that goes into overtime again.
Okay.
And then you never know. Alex Newhook would score a game winner like he does for Montreal, seems to be all the time. So I'm not giving up yet. I don't think, most people think it ends tonight. I don't.
Why is Montreal better on the road? And why has home ice not mattered in these playoffs?
Crazy, right?
Yes.
I mean, especially playing in the Bell Center, that atmosphere, you know, it's just so... Oh, it's breathtaking. It's amazing. It's alive. You don't even have to love hockey to like feel like, oh my gosh, this is a temple. This is an amazing place. I want to put this on my bucket list and see a Canadiens playoff game at the Bell Center, right? But I just think they relax. And hockey is such a different animal than any other sport, right? With the NBA, obviously home court means a lot, you would think, even though the NBA Western Conference Final going on right now, you know, the Spurs have won in OKC and they can, maybe they can win it in game 7 and do the same. But hockey seems to be, it doesn't matter. I think it's just, they seem to relax when you play on the road. That's what I think the situation is. You have a lot of pressure in front of the fans. Some players, some teams, it bothers them. Some it doesn't. It probably won't bother Carolina that much because they figure to win on the moon and on Mars. It doesn't really matter to them. They play just one way and it's usually successful. But some players just feel comfortable on the road because they don't have that extra pressure.
So if you like Montreal tonight, I would assume that you give them a puncher's chance to come back and make it a really good series then.
That would be great. Maybe it's my heart, you know, the love of hockey. I don't want to see yet the cup final. I just want a little more drama in this Eastern Conference final. I'd like to see it. Montreal's such a great story. But if it doesn't tonight, the Canadiens don't have to hang their heads in despair. It was a great, great run for them. No one really expected they'd go this far. They found out who their number one goalie is, and Jakub Dobish. He's amazing. They answered a lot of questions, but they still, you know, they're just... On paper, obviously, they're not as good as Carolina, but they're not that far from Carolina. That's why I really feel they can win tonight. But will they win the series? Who knows? If you win tonight and you bring it back to Montreal, maybe they find their skating legs and they will get inspired by their fans to win a game at home. You know, so this is how hockey is, guys. So I'm sorry. I like the little storybook fairy tales. I always root for those.
Sure. So interesting what you said about Freddie, that it's a team effort and not great goaltending. So if it's game one on Tuesday, how would you see Vegas-Carolina series going?
Yeah, I like Vegas because of their goaltending, because of Carter Hart. As I mentioned, he's the best goalie left in these playoffs. He's been outstanding. I think he's a favorite for the Conn Smythe right now for the Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, it's never too early to talk about that, especially on this show. You know, I just think he's been playing. It's not like no goalie stops everything, but he's stopping the ones he has to stop at the right time. And he has had a major arsenal. I mean, this run by the Vegas Golden Knights, we all know what they did to the Colorado Avalanche, best team during the regular season, the President's Trophy winner. But they had a tough run from the get-go, Utah and then the Ducks and then Colorado. And Carter Hart has been the man throughout the whole way. He has carried the load. So because of the goaltending, if it is indeed Carolina-Vegas in the Stanley Cup final, I like the Golden Knights probably in like six.
And if it's a low-scoring series, then you're leaning towards Hart. But how would that go versus the story of Mitch Marner and how it never worked with Toronto? Oh. He comes to Vegas in his first year, now leading all of the playoffs in points.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be another guy right there in the front runner for the Conn Smythe, depending on what he does in the final. And I think it is between those two guys. If Mark Stone wasn't hurt early, I think you would have gotten more from him. You always have to throw a Jack Eichel in there. as well, because of what he has meant to this team throughout this incredible playoff run for the Vegas Golden Knights. I think those three would be the guys, but the Mitch Marner story is incredible, right? Sorry, Maple Leafs fans. It happens. You know, I grew up a Rangers fan. I can't tell you. I can tell you of every decade, a trade that the Rangers made that backfired where that player went to the other team and was outstanding and basically Hall of Fame worthy. I mean, Carolina has one of those guys, Keandre Miller. Talented defenseman, used to be on the Rangers. He was okay with the Rangers, had one really super year. And then he goes to Carolina, and he's like, there's probably the second best defenseman next to Jakob Slavin. So, but getting back to Vegas and Mitch Marner, boy, we talked about relaxing, right? And not feeling the pressure. Mm-hmm. You feel the pressure when you're a Toronto Maple Leaf. Look at Austin Matthews. I think once Austin Matthews leaves the Toronto Maple Leafs, he's going to be a different player. Yeah, he'll still put the puck in the net. I know he put the puck in the net as a Maple Leaf, but carrying that weight, and that's what Mitchell Marner carried in Toronto. It's tough. These guys are young. We forget they're human beings and they're young guys. It's a lot to handle. And you put them in a Toronto Maple Leaf uniform, and now you see him in Vegas where, you know, the Golden Knights are not the only game in town in Las Vegas. I don't have to tell you about that. So he could relax, and he's really having fun. I have never seen Mitch Marner smile as much as I've seen him smile in a Vegas Golden Knight uniform. I don't think I noticed him smiling once as a Maple Leaf.
Kudos to you for sticking by the Knicks after some lean years. Mitch brought this up earlier yesterday on the show. What's your level of concern if the Knicks win the title that New Yorkers might lose their minds?
Yeah. Can we talk about, you know, fan bases? I always like to, I'm a fan first, you know, and people say, Linda, you know, what's the secret to your longevity, all this? I always say, because I'm a fan first. That's why you still keep the passion. Mm-hmm. You don't become jaded. So half of the fan bases, it doesn't matter what team you root for. When it comes to this time, when your team is on the verge of a title, how many times do we see it? The fake fans come out of the woodwork, and there's a lot of woodwork in New York, little holes where usually insects are. They come out, they come in bunches, and they cannot be controlled. And that's how I feel with the Knicks fan. I think a good percentage, sadly, of the, quote, fans you see now are not real Knicks fans, not the loyal kind. Hey, even the young guys like the famous Timothée Chalamet, he's a loyal Knicks fan, okay? But not all celebrities are like that. Ben Stiller, a loyal Knicks fan. But these guys that are out at, but let's not typecast, let's not label. There are a lot of Knicks fans out on the street who can afford a ticket to get into one of these games, not the average human. They're out there, they're in the streets, they're just excited. So I'm not labeling all of the guys and gals you see on the New York City streets fake fans, but there is a percentage, anywhere from 10 to 45% are fake.
Oh, wow. Up to 45%.
A big number. A huge number.
Wow. Yes. Oh.
You are planting your flag on this one.
I do believe that because they're looking for something. And then I'm not going to hate on them. I'm just saying because they're looking for a team to cheer, a team that's so close to winning a championship. But they've come out of nowhere. I'd like to see their social media history. I'd like to see their tweets regarding the Knicks in the bad days. And what were their thoughts when they paid all that money to Jalen Brunson at the time? Were they happy with that? Remember those people? Oh,
that is terrific.
There's plenty of them.
Yeah, nobody liked it, from what I recall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Linda, that was awesome. I love going having you go scorched earth like that. Thank you. Enjoy the game tonight, and best of luck to the Knicks in the NBA Finals.
Oh, yes. Thanks so much, and always thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Be good. There you go. Follow her on X, by the way, at Linda Cohn. How about that answer?
Strong.
Gacy.
It's a big number.
Door one, door two up next. We will compare similar prices in different markets, trying to find a bet or two to make next here on VSiN.
Follow the Money on VSiN.
It's good to have you on board here on a Friday. Big fan of our next guest. Does such a great job on the website, also with his many hits that he does here on various shows throughout the week on the network, and also with his podcast called Bout Business. Lou Finocchiaro joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Uncle Lou, good to see you again, my man. How are you today?
Doing great, guys. Thanks so much for having me. What a swell time of the year.
It really is. I mean, going into June, July used to be the no more dead time in sports, especially with the World Cup, no more dead time. College World Series betting, which we're going to get into, has become so much bigger over the years. But let's begin with one of your true loves, and that's the National Hockey League. You have a very strong opinion on the Cup, assuming that we get Carolina and the Golden Knights. We'll get to that in a second. Do you have an opinion tonight on Game 5?
My desire for tonight in Game 5 is that Montreal wins this game and forces Carolina into another game. And I'm doing that to fuel more momentum on the Carolina side. I prefer Carolina to go into the Vegas series with 1 to 3 days off. That's all. And I prefer Vegas to have to compete against Carolina with 9 days off as opposed to 7. And that's what a Montreal win will do tonight.
Okay. Hence, you would like Carolina a lot under that scenario to finish the Golden Knights in a relatively quick series, is my guess?
Mitch, I think that the 11-day rest that we made so much stink about for Carolina is now a benefit to them. It hurt them game one against Montreal, but their legs are under them, and they're a team with momentum, and they're a team with focus. Meanwhile, on the Golden Knights side, you got to understand that Colorado, they got the brains beat out of them by the Kings. Then the next series was the Wild, and they stepped into the Knights, another heavy team. And I will make the statement that the Knights beat a 78 to 80% Avs team. And the Knights, with that rest, 7 or 9 days, is going to thwart their momentum. I think it's going to thwart their momentum in the net. I don't buy that Freddie is tired. I've bought that he's struggled in years past. But these young athletes want to kick the door in and get their name on the cup, something they've been dreaming about since they were in kids. I like Freddie. I like Carolina. I like them a lot based on the rest factor. I think it sets Carolina up superbly for a very strong series. And I'm looking for something that looks like 4-2.
All right. That's a great breakdown. That is very interesting. Do you want to ride this Montreal freight train, 11 straight first period overs tonight as well?
Paul, I don't get too involved. I've hardly even bet totals this year because I'm so intoxicated on following road teams.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, road teams this year, 40 and 35.
Yes, sir.
So, and you look at tonight's game, Montreal opens 187 as a dog. You look at them, they're now plus 221. So the bookmakers knew they were going to get a lot of Carolina money. They taxed it into the line. It's still not enough. If you're betting tonight's game, I believe the only bet is Montreal.
Yeah, so plus 221 right now here at Circa, that's more than a fair price to you.
Oh, I thought 187 was more than a fair price. Montreal's been pretty good on the road.
Do you ever get involved with the puck line? Would you take 1.5, hoping they win outright or avoid, you know, or maybe it goes to overtime, but you don't want to pull the empty, you have the empty net, obviously.
Mitch, I'm not afraid to consider that, but in games where there's a potential clinch, now you get goofy stuff like Paul notices all the time. These goalies get pulled at 4 and 3 minutes. So no, I wouldn't in this scenario because it's a potential clinching situation.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely outrageous too. We're pulling guys with 5 minutes left on a regular basis. It's a card that starts in the middle of the night in Macau. How about a couple UFC plays, Uncle Lou?
Yeah, this is a card that's primarily a setup card for the local regional athletes in the Eastern Hemisphere. But we have a long, tall Chinese fighter that fights out of California traveling out to Macau to face a young, short, squat guy named Alex Perez. Perez is the more well-rounded fighter, and he's been in with a better degree of competition. Su Muarji is the Chinese fighter. He'll have all the home cooking going for him, but the issue is he doesn't wrestle, and he's no good off his back, and that's the first place Perez is going to try and take this fight. I like Perez, who opened a pick. He's now maybe minus 130 or minus 140 there at the Circa. Again, depending where you shop, he's a short favorite, but it's his, who he's been in with, and the development and well-roundedness of his mixed martial arts acumen that makes me lean to him.
Okay. I know it starts, what is 4 o'clock out here, something like that? 1 o'clock?
1 a.m. The prelims start Pacific time, and then the main card starts at 4 a.m.
Okay.
Bagels and beatdowns.
Yeah, well, it's going to be it's going to be people firing in bets, going to go to bed and hoping that they wake up to some winners in their account. Any other fights that you like?
Yeah, there's a Rastaman from Guyana called Charleston Harris. He's shipping in on short notice to fight Jake Matthews. Jake Matthews is tough. He's durable, but he's always just a little bit underachieved. He's not lightning fast, but he's tough and he's durable. And I think this is a good matchup for Charleston Harris, who's just going to come out there and throw caution to the wind and try and touch him up. I might even consider Harris, who is a plus 300 straight, inside the distance at plus 550. This is would be a smaller type of a bet because of the size of the underdog.
Very good. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Lou Finicaro. You can follow him on X at GamLou. The podcast is called Bout Business. Did you have any bets on individual games today in the College World Series?
No, but I have had some regional bets, and I have some bets to go to the College World Series, all published on the GamBlue webpage. Nebraska to win the regional, Arkansas to win their regional. Those haven't played yet, so I'm good. Southern Miss to win theirs and Oklahoma State to win its. Both of those teams lost. So I have some work to do in those regionals to make this College World Series. I love this market, guys, available at DraftKings. Florida State was plus 150 when I took them. I'm still very bullish on them, and they're only winning their game right now 3-2. Florida. That's a team that hides in the middle of the SEC every year. And then by the end of the year, they're playing their best baseball under this coach, O'Sullivan, who might as well have a condo in Omaha. He's there all the time. And then last, Mississippi State. Mississippi State plus 115, not only to win their regional, I think they can go places. The coach O'Connor that came from Virginia went to Creighton, which is in Omaha. If Mississippi State makes Omaha, they will have the crowd behind them unless Nebraska also goes, in which case they would both have the crowd behind them. One last bomb. Everybody and their mama talking about Georgia Tech, and Georgia Tech is a phenomenal baseball team, but they play baseball with home runs and high batting. And when you get to Omaha, the batting average goes down, the wind blows in your teeth, and the home runs almost go away. Oklahoma, in that region, I think could really do something as far as surprising Georgia Tech when they play. And Oklahoma to make the College World Series 15-1, that might be one you put a ham sandwich on and look for some upsets.
Wow, very good. Okay, so do you start betting the College World, well, I should say college baseball in general, like basically as soon as the season starts?
On February 9th, I made some future plays based on the fact that I'm very convinced that of the 8 teams that will go to Omaha, 5 or 6 will be ACC and SEC teams. Mm-hmm. So I just shoot at those. And most of them are still alive. LSU, the one I was most confident in, they did not make it. So I start out with a loser. So by the time the regionals come, which just started today, then I look more at the to make the College World Series, to win the regional, played no individual games today, but I may tomorrow, especially, for instance, UCLA or sure. Oklahoma State that are in must-win situations.
Yeah, great point. Love getting your perspective and best bets, Lou. Thanks so much for the time. Have a great weekend, okay?
Thanks for having me, guys. Good luck, everybody.
Yeah, there you go. Lou Finicaro on X at GamLou. That's also the website and also the Ball Business Podcast joined us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Okay, there's a lot there with the bets that he gave out.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I mean, what do you make of that on the Canadiens tonight? He said he thought plus 187 was a fair price. Now that's bumped up 40 more cents.
Yeah. Well, so I know you don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but my God, this has just been total domination here. I mean, again, you're talking, 47 shots on goal the last 3 games?
NHL playoffs. That's the fewest three-game stretch since they've been tracking this since 1960. You know, I always like what Jonathan Davis says. There's no momentum in hockey. Carry over from game to shift. But this is just, they're much the best here. And how's Montreal going to score? We know game one was an absolute fluke because of the layoff that he mentioned. I love his analysis on why he likes Carolina in the Stanley Cup final.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, we'll recap our bets from last night. And we'll tell you what we've added for tonight and beyond here on VSiN.